Precious Heavenly Father, we recognize that this is the Word of God, and you are the immutable, invisible God whose wisdom is unsearchable. And so, Father, I ask you for mercy. Mercy for me, Lord, to bring forth this word in purity, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Come and anoint my heart and my lips. Grant me fresh unction and anointing so that your word will come forth with power to break yokes, Heavenly Father, to open blind eyes, to unstop deaf ears, Lord, to give us, Lord, to remove every veil that is before our eyes, that we will see, Lord, face to face, even clearer than ever, Lord, the hope that you have set before us. And so we will run with patience to apprehend the same in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you have mercy on me. Help me to be concise and to be precise so that, Lord, I will not say unnecessary things, but you will enable me to speak as an oracle of God, as you direct me to speak in the name of Jesus, that I will seek the honor that comes from you alone. And what as I speak, Lord, I will speak, Lord, so that you will be glorified and honor and praise will come to my fathers in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit in the air. Under the covering of my fathers, I now dock. And I ask that as this word goes forth throughout the earth, let it be backed by the power of God to effect these same things, bringing salvation, liberty, deliverance, and victory and strength to the people of God in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. I ask, Lord, that, Lord, you help me to be a scribe, instructors unto the kingdom, leaning entirely on you and not on my preparation, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things both new and old to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, this evening, the Lord dropped this word in my heart. It's entitled, Living by Jesus Christ. Living by Jesus Christ. Now that may sound very obvious, but I want to start from somewhere. If you look at the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Let's read it together. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they, that is us, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He says reign. So really we are meant to reign. That's the will of God for us. We are meant to reign. We're not just meant to live. We're not just meant to exist. We're not meant to survive. We are meant to reign. We are meant to exercise a measure of control. We are meant to be able to dominate the sin nature. We are meant to be able to dominate circumstances. Yea, we are meant to be able to dominate death itself, the last enemy. This is the will of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when we read from verse 26. Let's read together. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, the Apostle Paul, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So it naturally means that you can run as uncertainly. You're running, but you don't really know why you're running. You're running and you're not really having anything in focus. You're not running in a... You know, there's strategy in running. I don't know if you know that. If you watch the Olympics, even 100 meters, some people have a bad start, yet they finish first. So they're not running uncertainly. There's a way they run. If it's 400 meters, there's a way they run. If it's 200 meters, there's a way they run. You don't just run. You don't run anyhow. If it's 1,005, there's a way you run. If it's 10,000 meters, there's a way you run. So you're not running uncertainly. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So it means that if you don't run the way you're supposed to be running, you can actually lose the reason why you are running in the first place. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And that's why I believe that God is bringing us this world, so we can run certainly. So we can fight and put our body under, not beating the air. Amen. So that we not be a castaway. A castaway there doesn't mean you go to hell. It just means that you miss out on the deep things of God. The real crunje, if you like. In those days, we used to call it crunje. If you have the paper for the exam, you are a made man. It was wrong, oh, don't do that. In those days, you know, the people go and try and get crunje. You know, I said, that person has crunje. So it's a Nigerian term, okay? It just means that you have the principal thing, you know, and so God doesn't want us to run and miss on the principal thing, which is the purpose of God. Amen. All right, so let's look at how it comes about. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. We need to go back to the book of beginnings to see what God had in mind. We read it together. And the Bible says, and God said, that's Elohim, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, including the lion and hippopotamus, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. Next verse. So God created man in his what? Own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Adam was made in the image of God. Adam was perfect, made in the image of God. The life of God flowing in his veins. That was Adam. Next verse. And God did what? Blessed them. The man in that image became blessed. And God said unto him, be what? Fruitful. And multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So Adam was supposed to, even though he was made perfect, he was supposed to be fruitful, he was supposed to multiply, he was supposed to replenish the earth. These are all stages in actually securing that his perfection. Amen. It was to establish it and make it fully permanent. Because as we know, as we have been taught, the fact that you are perfect does not mean you cannot sin. Because man has a free will. Okay, right. And have what? Dominion. We go back to dominion. Over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Right. So we see that Adam was made in the image of God. God said, let us make man. And like Papa Ralph taught us many years ago, God made man. God is still making man. Amen. In his own image. Okay? No, so we see that God's plan really was that the way God rules in the heavens, man would rule on the earth. Psalm 115 verse 16, I'm not turning there, says that the heavens, even the heavens of heaven, belong to God. But the earth, he has done what? Given to the sons of men. So God wanted man to be a God on the earth. And he will be God in heaven, and then they will have godly fellowship. That was God's original plan. So that was what God did. So God gave man his nature, eternal life. It was flowing in man the same way it was flowing in God. But in man, man didn't have it in abundance the way God did. Man was dependent on God, as he always will be, because he's a created being. Pastor told us that the created being is by of necessity, by the fact that it is created, is dependent on the Creator. Okay? So that's why we titled this Living by Jesus Christ. You can't just live anyhow. You must live by Him. You must live in connection with Him to become who God wants us to be. Amen. Alright. So we see, and because God is love, 1 John 4:8, let's look at that. It's a very important scripture. 1 John. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For what? God is love. God doesn't have love. God is love. He's the embodiment of love. He is love personified. Love is, God is the definition of love. Okay, love doesn't define God. God defines love. Amen. Very important, okay? All right. So really look at this. God made Adam to be love. Yeah. God made Adam in his own image. And God is love. So God made Adam to be love. Okay? Alright. So God made Adam to be love so that Adam could have dominion like love himself has dominion. That was God's original plan. The more love you have, the more dominion you exercise. Because God is love. And God is love. So the more God you have, the more dominion you exercise. That's why he said, let them have dominion. Because it's a natural consequence of having love. If you have love, you naturally dominate. Amen. You naturally dominate because love is the greatest. Love is the armor, like Pastor was teaching us on Sunday. Okay? There's nothing, Bible says, many waters cannot drown love. Love is the power of the resurrection, is the power of the Godhead. Is released by love. So God will entrust that power to you and I, except we have that image of love stamped on our hearts. That's the will of God for us. Amen? Okay? So Adam's fall meant that us in Adam and Adam got disconnected from God. And we know the story. When you got disconnected from God, of course, when not connected to life source, whatever was in Adam became corrupted. And that corruption spread to all creation, which is what we have up until today. Okay? So we see that the nature they had at the beginning, they lost it because of the choice that they made. Look at Genesis 3:7. Quickly. Thank you. Genesis 3:7. Let's read together. And the eyes of them both were what? Open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Does it mean their eyes were closed before this? No. He's trying to give you a picture. Their eyes were interpreting everything in their environment through their connection with God. That life was flowing in them, so they had a God perspective. They had revelation. By life, they were interpreting everything. They were not interpreting through the senses. They were interpreting through the divine nature working on the inside. But when that was cut off, they were now subject to what the senses were. So their natural eyes now had precedence over their spiritual eyes. Which now says their eyes were open. So everything now was through a natural viewpoint. A natural perspective. Okay. Alright. Now, so Jesus came to do two things. Basically, he came to, the Bible says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it. So he came to restore the nature and then also the image that Adam lost. So the second Adam restored first the nature, and through that nature restored the image of love. That's the will of God. Look at John 10:10 very quickly. The thief cometh not. I can't hear you. Only Pastor Wigan, Pastor Wally. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is I? The Lord Jesus. I am come that they might have what? Life. And they might have it more abundantly. Life is not living. It's a substance. It produces living, but it's a substance. So that's what he came to give. So he came to change the nature that was in man. Because at that point in time, once Adam was cut off from God, death, that's why the Bible says death reigned in Romans 5:17. It says death reigned by one. So life now, so we're talking about two different natures, because it's important for us to understand that. And then he came to restore the image. Look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image. No, God doesn't use words, but to the image of his son. He wants exactly that. That's what he paid for. You know when you go to the shop and you pay for something and someone wants to give you Baruf is fake. Okay, somebody you have different types of what, necklaces, and there's 16 carat, there's 8 carat, there's 24 carat. You pay for 28 carat or 24 carat gold, and then I'll give you 8 and say it's the same thing. You say no way, it is not what I paid for. It's not what I paid for. You understand? The weight is different. Wait, you understand? So the image of his son, that's what he wants us to become, that he might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. Brethren are, they have the same, they are from the same stock. they're from the same stock. When you say somebody is your brother, they're from the same stock. When you say my brethren, we have the same stock. God is the stock. Amen. When you have people in your family, your parents are the stock. You understand? So when is this brother? You're talking about people who basically share the same inheritance. They share the same inheritance. So he's talking about elevating us to the image of God. That's the will of God for us. So God wants to elevate us to that image of God. Look at Psalm 82 verse 6. Amen. Let's read it together. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Next verse. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Now, this is not the will of God, this second verse. Gods, what do gods do? Gods dominate. They dominate. So, really, he's talking to us here about the fact that I have already said it. You are gods. The question is, are you going to believe it? I will. Amen. I will. I will believe it, and then I will escape this next verse. I will escape this next verse because I'm not going to die like an ordinary man. That's the difference of being between a man and a God. You by reason of being a God, God gives you through him, not independent of God, not by yourself, through him, you have the ability to become God, small g. Jesus is the King of Kings, small k. He's Lord of Lords, small l. God of Gods, small g. That's who you are, amen. You should be shouting now. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so important that you dominate instead of being dominated. Those circumstances beyond my control. Really? Shouldn't be. It's an aberration. By the time we finish, you will see that we have the ability to actually dominate so that we can live the kind of life. Like the prophecy pastor preaches, stuck in my mind, the glorious transcendent life of the Son of God. It's not pie in the sky. It's available for those who will believe. And I choose to believe. And I know you will believe too in Jesus' name. All right, you believe to the end. Amen. Okay, and we see, and you know, if you see, that's the will of God. Not anything short, not anything less. Don't let the devil sell you 8 carats for 24. Yes, be born again, go to heaven, and live a normal life. Same that happens to the unbeliever happens to you. No way. No way. It's a travesty of justice. It's unfair. That's not what the man paid for. The man Christ Jesus. That's not what he paid for. And you do well to be aware and insist at the shop. I like mommy. When we travel with the school, our mommy doesn't take nothing short of the best. If they know. When I just look at mommy and I marvel, I say, God, what men will not? You know, mommy's not a woman; she's a God. In that sense, you know what I mean? There's something in her that just rises up and says, "No way, no way." Mom will say, "No, we're not doing this. We're not taking those rooms. Those rooms don't have a good view. Yeah. Why should you put up? Because we're black? You want to put us in a room that doesn't have the room that is facing? What nonsense. We want ocean view. We want, yes, that's what we want. That's what we pay for, and that's what we're going to get. Yeah. Don't settle for nothing less, and we will get it. Wake up in the morning and say, ah, thank God for mommy. Look at the ocean. Take a picture. Relax. My mommy has paid for it. This one, God has paid for it. Don't settle for nothing less. Look at Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Exodus 7 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I'm saying to you today, see, it's revelation, see, I have made thee a what? To who? Was Pharaoh an ordinary man? No, he was a king, but he was a God to Pharaoh. That's what the Bible says. He chose the reproach of Christ better riches than to be son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was royalty. Then he became a god to Pharaoh. Pharaoh came begging with his head bowed. That's dominating. That's being a god. And if you look at Joseph, you will also see in Genesis chapter 39 verse 4. Let's turn there quickly. Genesis 39 4. Give it to me quickly. Thank you. And the Lord was with Joseph. 39 4. Yes. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he what? Served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Who was in charge here? Potiphar. Who was serving Potiphar? Joseph. Is that not what we are seeing here? Joseph was, Bible says, and he served him. Who was serving who? Joseph was serving Potiphar. Okay, but wind down the road when Joseph became who God wanted him to be. Look at Genesis 41:43. When he allowed the image of God to be stamped upon his heart, see what happened. There was a role reversal. Yes, hallelujah. And verse 43. And he made him to, this is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him saying, I can't hear you saying what? Bow the knee. And he made him what? Ruler over all. Where was Potiphar? He was among them. Potiphar was among them. Bowing the knee. When he was in the form of man, he bowed the knee to Potiphar. But when he became the image of God, Potiphar bowed to him. It's the image of God. Love. Love. Becoming love. If you walk and perfect the love of God, you will dominate. By reason of the force of spiritual arms, you will dominate. Amen. Amen. All right. So you can see that, and you know, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, he grew in favor with God and men. Amen. We know that, didn't he? All right. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Hebrews 5, verse 8 to 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he what? Obedience by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And being made perfect. Stop. So he was perfect. Like Adam was perfect. But the perfection was not established to the utmost degree. Do you understand what I mean? He had to grow in that perfection. Remember what we said? Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue. So that all levels of growth in that perfection. So he didn't lose the perfection. Adam didn't consolidate the perfection, but Jesus did. And Bible says he became perfect. He was already perfect. So when he's saying he became perfect, he's talking about mature perfection. Maturity in perfection. Thank you, sir. And became the author of eternal salvation to all that do what? That obey him. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. In that state, Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the what? Invisible God. Jesus became the image of the invisible God. When you see him, you have seen the Father. The Bible says so now, doesn't it? When he says, if you see me, so God wants you and I to become what? The image of the invisible God, the express image of his person, as it says in the book of Hebrews. Okay, so we see that it is something. Remember, Jesus was a man. Pastor always teaches us that he came as a man, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Okay, born as a baby and grew in that perfection to the point where he became perfect. It means that you and I can also grow. In fact, that is the will of God for us. We must grow up into him in all things. Amen. Now, why is this image important? This image of Lord. This image of God. This form of God. See, Adam had the form of man and the form of God. Bible says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Likeness is the form of man. God has two limbs. The physical, okay? If you look at the description of the Holy Spirit, it was like a form of a man. Okay, so there's that form. But there is a form of God that is spiritual. That form is what we're talking about here. Okay, so he says, now, why is this image important? Number one, this is what Jesus paid for. Amen. We've said that. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 11. Give it to me in the Message Bible, if you can. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Let's read it together. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad that he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones as he himself carries the burden of their sins. He will make many righteous ones. So it's the same level of righteousness. Nothing short. The same level of righteousness. Love is the end of the law. Love is the end of the law. Okay, so we see that. That's number one reason. Number two, what Pastor has been teaching us so beautifully the past 2 weeks, suffering of attacks, self-denial, and of the shortcomings of brethren around us is the process we go through to receive the love image. We go through a process to receive that love. That process is the suffering. The same way he has suffered on our behalf is the same way we also must suffer to become like him. It's very important because he's the pattern son. Okay? Alright, look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Let's look at that. We looked at that earlier. Right. Thank you. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Thank you. Let's read it together. Although he was a son, he learned, I can't hear you now, he learned active special obedience through what he suffered. So there is active special obedience. There is inactive ordinary obedience. And there is active special obedience. What does he mean by that? Active special. You know what came to my mind? Commando. You know, you have regular army and you have marines, you have SEALs. They don't do the same job. There's a job for regular army, it's just a job for the Navy SEALs. It's very important. You don't do the same job. And you know where you, this one you walk in thousands, this one you walk in tens, five, no, of the deadliest, like David's men. The Bible says, this one was the greatest among the 30. This one was the greatest among the three. They're not the same. One got up and killed a bear on a snowy day in a pit. Just got up and killed a bear with his bare hands. Army. Those are not people you want to meet in the night. No. The Bible says mighty men of David. Special. Special forces. So Jesus was special forces. Though he was a son, he had to grow to become special forces. Guess what? You and I have to grow to become special forces. You can't be ordinary army. It's not the will of God for us. I reject it for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I reject it for you in Jesus' name. Yes. You have to be special forces. That is where the fullness of your destiny is. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Look at 1 John 3:22. 22 to 23. What is my active special obedience? Active special obedience. That thought came to my mind. Let's read together. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Right there. Ordinary and special. Ordinary, we keep his commandments. Special, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Nobody told you to do it. Amen. You just saw it, and this was the appropriate thing to do, and you did it. Special. When Jesus saw the fig tree and spoke to it, special. Just see, discern. Love discerns, desires, and does what God will do in every situation. The ability to do that is special. That's what God is saying. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, it doesn't say, if thou shalt keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments and the statutes and... No. If thou shalt hearken to the voice. Special. So anytime you are confessing it, be remembering that it's special. It's the one that is extra. God doesn't put all those deep... There are deep, deep blessings. God will bless you in your storehouses. The Lord will open the heavens over you. And then just give it to you just like that, shall? For doing commandments. It's for voice. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God diligently, then those blessings will come upon and overtake you. Special. That's why I want to define the special. So that's how come you can become a castaway. If you are doing ordinary when you are supposed to be doing special, then that is a castaway. That's why Paul was praying. I reject it for me in Jesus' name. I don't want to beat the air. I want to put my body under. That's the will of God for us. Amen? Okay. All right. So we see that. So really, you know, the key here is this. We should embrace this suffering. Paul said, I rejoice. I fill up the measure of the suffering. That is my portion. Everybody has a portion like Pastor Dottos. You better receive your portion. When we were in school, I was senior, God bless them. You know, seniors were God. They were not like God. They were God. Alright, they would take a stone. And they are, bros, a Joe, bros. Then they can throw it like this. Or they can throw it like this. Whenever they throw it, that's where your portion finishes. The quicker you accept your portion, the quicker you will finish it. You know, that to be arguing, they will just take a stick and mark it. You can stay there and be talking. Brethren, receive your portion. You don't want to receive it. Say, I receive my portion. Okay, let me say, do you receive your portion of glory? Do you receive your portion of being conformed to the image of Jesus? But the root to it is this. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. By what? The things that he... So, no suffering, no obedience. No obedience, no glory. Clap for Jesus. It's for God, you know what I mean? But I mean, just embrace it is what I mean. I mean, embrace it. You know, because if you understand it properly, that's the path. If that's the path, Bible says, if I suffer with him, I will be glorified with him. If I deny him, he will deny me. That's what he says. You know, so you know, you can't take the crown without a cross. You must understand how to bear the cross with wisdom. Because there's a wisdom, there's a way he bore the cross. And he bore the cross with all Matthew, John, all the disciples, Peter, all around him. I mean, it wasn't as if he was suffering. In fact, many times it was the cross he was bearing that delivered them. He would say, go over to the other side, go up to the mountain and pray for 6 hours, and still come down and meet them on the water. S1B. And he would just walk by and say, immediately they would get to the land. They were coasting on his suffering. Just like you and I are coasting on Pastor and Mommy's suffering. And one day you two will get to a point where other people will coast on your own suffering. This is the will of God. So really, when brethren, you know, we have lovely brethren. Even you and me are lovely brethren. We are lively brethren. In Jesus' name, we have life. Amen. So when you have lively brethren, you know what you do? Bear one another's burdens. You have to bear. It's not 50-50. And that's not the equation that Jesus gave us. Galatians chapter 6. That's not the equation he gave us. When they say love. When you go to marriage, you just say, poor guy. He doesn't know. It's not 50-50. That one that they were singing about, the guy doesn't have revelation. He doesn't have revelation. He doesn't have revelation. He doesn't have revelation. He's 100-0. Yes, oh. Look at it now. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the what? It's a law. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. You bear, you become more like Christ. You bear, you become. You don't bear, you don't become. Bear, become. It's a law. It's the law of Christ, is the anointed one. How many people want anointing? Bear people in love. Forgive. Endure. Long suffering. In Jesus' name, you have life. Help me. Pray in the spirit. Don't let me lose my cool. You have to do it. Don't give them your mind, though. If you give them that, how long shall I suffer thee? You know, did Jesus say that? Yes, guess what the answer is? Until God says so. Yes, 77 per day, per person. Forbear. That's the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. But if you get it, it's a law. It's a law. You will get the glory. You will get the image. If you allow it to have its full work. Look at the next verse. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he what? You are praying in the closet. I pray for 4 hours. I'm not his spirit. God is not using that, bro. He's using love. He's using love. It was better you prayed too and then went out to see your mom, whom you have not seen for months. It's better. It's better than for you to be saying that that's what you're doing. I'm doing. You're not allowed to do your own thing. You're supposed to be acknowledging in every way. It's not supposed to. There is no formula. You are being led. It's love. You are being led. You can't do your own thing. That's where the cross is. Oh, Monday, if I pray, no, don't pray. Go and sit with them in that place and all that. Sit through it and, be agreeable, be nice, and all that. And come back and say, Jesus. But at least you do it. That's love. You don't do what is convenient for you. Bear one another's burdens. That's what he's saying here. As if you think yourself to be something, using some other yardstick apart from love. You are deceiving yourself. Next verse. But let every man what? Prove his own work. Work of love. Love is work. Prove your own work. And then he shall have what? Rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Because you know if you are using, so I'll pray for 4 hours. If not, I'll pray for 5. So he gave 10,000. Me too, I'll give 20. That's where we get off, you know. Using all sorts of yardsticks that are not on. Comparing yourself, the Bible says it's not wise. So the key is to use love. Provoke one another unto love and what? Good works. Love is the yardstick. Love is what we use. Love is what we copy. And look at the effect of love. Verse 5. For every man shall what? Bear his own burden. So you start bearing. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Bear. Because as you bear, you are becoming. Have the understanding. As you bear, you are becoming. It's not in vain. It is accomplishing a perfect work. Removing defect of impatience, of selfishness. All those defects, they've been removed. So that you can be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And when you bear, you start 100-0. I will suffer you. Is it not the same Peter that spoke up? Jesus had gone to heaven. You know, Peter spoke up to the Sanhedrin and told them that we're not afraid. And they perceived that this man, maybe he's unlearned. How come he's speaking so, he spoke so authoritatively and stood up? The reed that denied Jesus 3 times stood up. And told them that no. Judge yourself whether what we should do. But as for we, this is what we're going to do. Before the Sanhedrin, Jesus was clapping. Peter was bearing his own burden. But Jesus had to bear him in order for him to come and bear his own burden. Same thing. Peter and Paul had to bear John Mark. But same John Mark came back after he had been born to become a blessing to Peter. So it's 100-0, then it's 90-10, then it's 80-20, then it's 70-30. But they will always need your bearing. That's why we see that Jesus is the example. Bible says he will make many righteous ones. Your number is there. You are one of the righteous ones. So you're going to follow that pattern that the Son of God has set down. Okay, so we see that. Okay, so that's why the image is important. Okay, this is the route to getting it. Now, next and last reason I have here. Without the love image as our standard, we are relatively empty, relatively worthless, and relatively unprofitable to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1-3. Though I speak with tongues of what? Men and of angels, and have not charity, which is also love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. So I am making noise. You know what they said, God taught us in school, I can't forget. Empty barrels make the most noise. The people that talk the most aloud, empty. Want attention to themselves, empty. Now, in this case, when he says the thing is empty of the power of God. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew 6, 13. When somebody is full, if you tap it, you can, the sound is dense. It's not hollow. It's not loud. It's dense. It's full of power. Look at it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. When love is there, there will be what? And the power and the glory. But what's the first thing there? Kingdom. Love. Love is the love image is the kingdom. The dominion, the total dominion of the divine nature, okay, over the soul and the body, the spirit, soul, and body of a person. That is kingdom, the dominion. Okay, so what he's talking about here is the fact that if a person is empty, is just speaking in tongues alone, and is not motivated and directed by divine love, is empty of the power. So you're just blowing tongues and there's no effect. It's like a pump that is pumping and there's no water coming out in the tap. Because the water level has gone lower. So the pipe is no longer reaching where the water is. So you find you get your head, the sound, what happens to the sound? It changes. You can hear the sound change. It's empty. It's empty. So God doesn't want us to be empty. That's why love has to be there behind the tongues. A love motive, okay, and love directing our praying. All right? That's why it's important to pray, with the right attitude, okay? Very important. Then again, next verse. And though I have, these are gifts of the Spirit, and though I have the gift of prophecy, okay, vocal gifts, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, okay, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. Worth. You're not worth as much as you are, because all you have is gifts. You don't have fruit. All you have is gifts. It's temporary. It comes on the outside and it's taken away. It's not resident in you. Fruit is resident in you. So he's saying that in that case you are not. If you look at the Amplified, give it to me. Give me this verse in the Amplified. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, was it? God's love where? God's love where? In me. I am nothing. A what? Useless nobody. I didn't say anything. It's God. The word says useless nobody. Useless in the sense that you're not useful for the purpose of God on the earth. And the purpose of God in the ages to come. That's what he's saying. We will be useful for the world in Jesus' name. We will not be useless. That's not your portion. Don't be afraid now. It's just to make sure that you are walking in love. So these are these. That's why, you know, love constrains us. That's why you have to embrace the love. Because going away from it, what are you going to? Bible says, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to? There's nowhere to go to. We need to go through that path and embrace it. Amen? And then look at verse 3. Verse 3, give it to me. Yes. Thank you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it what? Profited me nothing. It means that if you don't have love, that image of God, divine love, in your stamped in your heart, growing and increasing, the profit you bring God is reduced. The profit you bring God is reduced. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It gives us a good picture of that. All right. So according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another, that's us, builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. Next verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation, being born again. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. This is a choice everybody makes of different classes of love. Different classes. Next verse. Thank you. Every man's work. What did he call love in the other verse? Work. Every man's what? Work shall be what? Made manifest. For what? The day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. Situations and circumstances. Fire. Suffering. Attacks. And what comes out of you when you attack is love. That's what he's saying. Okay? And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Next verse. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon. Stop! If what you did abides, because the love foundation of it is tested. And it is found, it's based on love. Motive, means, method, everything is love. That love, that work will stay. And the reward is due. That's what he's saying. So it must abide upon that which is built thereupon. The apostle or the apostolic ministry has already laid the foundation, but you must build according to the pattern of that foundation, according to God-likeness. So everything you do, for example, Ananias and Sapphira, they gave money. Didn't they give money? They gave money, isn't it? Now, the question is this. Did they give you the right attitude? No. Did they give money? Yes. Did they get a reward? No. Because it wasn't motivated by love. So when it was tested, it was immediate testing. Yeah. Immediate. Let's take a testing. They gave one opportunity. Is this how much you sold it for? And that was it. Brethren, we need to be afraid of God. We need to stop half-truths, three-quarter truth, one-quarter truth, 5/6 truth. And stay with the truth. Nothing but the truth. Renounce hidden things of dishonesty and craftiness. And said this, and immediately, instantly, there was judgment. And that was the former reign. So it tells you that God is... This is not something just writing for writing's sake. You know, there is a purpose is writing it for. Next verse. Okay. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall what? Suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What will suffer loss? Loss of reward. So what you did, you just did it to the air. Give my body to be born. Is it possible? Egba, Ejo, burn my hand. I'm going to give my body to be born. I can't even do it. Now imagine some people do it now. Self-immolation. Some people do it. Some people do it in all these Asians. They do it as a mark of piety and all that. Okay? And all that. And if it's not based on love. Sorry? Ah, God forbid. God forbid. Do you understand? Everything must be based on love. Why did you do it? Okay? And that's why you yourself have to search your motive. Search your heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask yourself. Because it's like using revision questions to prepare for exam. If you ask yourself, you make your mistake privately, do your correction. When they ask you in the exam, A star! One serves the Milowo. God wants Satan to serve into your hand. That's why he told us, have you considered my servant Job? It was to serve into his hand. And God did it. Ultimately, Satan actually served into God's hand. Because what happened? Because God helped Job to correct the heart attitude, then gave Job double. Give God a clap of him. The way God helped, God says, we have seen, consider Job as an example of suffering. That at the end, the Lord is pitiful. The Lord doesn't want you to be suffering every day. He has an end. After a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and say to you. Pastor, give us three scriptures. And I went and memorized them so that it will be my heart. Bible says that if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. That's where he's ultimately going. The suffering is just a short route to that land. That's where we're going to be living in spending our days in prosperity, in pleasure. With our eyes on the purpose. Not on the pleasure. Bible says, he that loveth one another shall not be rich. So we're just passing through that land. No, they pass through Jericho to get to where they are going. You pass through Jericho to get to Jordan, and Jordan and cross over and enter the promised land. You don't stop in Jericho. You keep enjoying the fruit of Jericho, but it's not holding your heart down. Amen. God will have mercy on us. Amen. That's where God wants us to be, and we're going to get there in Jesus' name. So we see God wants us to be profitable, because love will amplify. You know, it will bring profit to whatever little thing you do. Bible says, "Better is the little that the righteous have." So the little one that you do, look at it, of all the churches in Revelation, there was only one that got commendation. Was it because they had the most money? No. Was it because, it was because they were doing what God said they should do. Love, obedience, that was it. And they surpassed all the others that had so many works, and it was just obedience. Bible says, okay, this obedience that you have, the one you don't have, I will supply it. This is very important, okay? So, it's important to understand that. So, God wants us to understand that our purpose and our destiny is not necessarily of course, we're going to be rich, you know, and all that, but that's not the end. The end is who we become and the work of the kingdom that we accomplish on the earth. And then there's even another side of it, because our hope is beyond this life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Our hope is beyond this life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Most miserable. Your hope is not everything is not here. Why? Look at it. Let's look at go further down. Give me verse 38. Same verse. Ah, good. Okay. See, what gives us hope? Our hope. We have a hope of the perfection of Christ. Then we have the hope of the resurrection. That hope of the resurrection is the real, like Pastor said, is the real center point of Christianity, because that's where our faith comes from. If Jesus rose from the dead, guess what? You're going to be raised. and you are being raised. Amen. So really here, God is talking about two resurrections. There are two resurrections. Because, you know, Christ is risen from the dead. The first one, here, look at the principle of resurrection first. What is resurrection? Okay, just to say, you know, the resurrection is the transformation of the natural physical body so that it goes from a mortal state to an immortal state, in which two things happen. It is not subject to sin, and then it is in that state permanently. It's two things. So you must understand. So the beauty of what God has done is that He gives us that state on this side of heaven. If you can believe it, believe it. He gives us the state of where the mortality is swallowed up by life on this side, and then makes it permanent on that side. So you experience it here, which is a taste, and then you get the fullness of it on that side. Look at Psalm 97 verse 11, because that's the first principle. When you're talking about our life does not consist on everything that is going on around you. It's not the end of everything. There is another arena that will be permanent. Like somebody was saying one day, you know, it's not 2 years, it's not 20 years, it's not 200 years. It's eternity. On the other side, it's eternity. So everything we're doing here is just like role play for that real one. Okay? And look at the principle. It says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. So light is sown. The amount of light that is in your mortal body, or the amount of life as your mortal body, is going to determine what you ultimately become. What you resurrect as. That's why it's so important. So when the Bible talks about resurrection, the Bible says it's sown a physical body, is raised a spiritual body. But what he's looking at here is the amount of life that is in the body. It's so important that we understand. Look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 11. This is the one that God gives us on this side. Pastor has taught us, so I'm just, let's go back to 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See, it's a root. First, I know him. Then, I am entrusted with the power. Then, God uses that power to be a blessing to others, so that in a way I suffer relative death. I cannot use the power for myself. I am a dispenser of it to others. Okay? And then being made conformable to his death. So I'm suffering the way he suffered, because I'm bearing others the way I was born. Amen. Look at the next verse. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Give that in the Amplified, please. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that what? Lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. So even though I am among the dead, or people that are subject to death, I myself will not be subject to death. That's what he's saying. So like Pastor taught us, you can then, by God, living through God, you can determine if you die, when you die, and how you die. But the key is to dominate the law of sin and death. That is the yes, by the law of spirit of life in Christ. And so that is one level of the resurrection. Then there is the other level in verse 38. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. Quickly. 15:3-8. Yes. No, give it to me in the, yes. But God giveth it a body as it has what? As it has what? Pleased him. So listen, what did the Bible say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 and 23? It says that let's go back there quickly. First Corinthians, just flip there. First, yes. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we what? keep his commandments, that's ordinary, and do those things that are pleasing inside, that's active special. Now go back here. Go back. But God giveth him a body as does what? Pleased him. You can see. So the resurrection, the quality or the order, like the order of the resurrection really determines on the degree to which we please God. Now the only degree we can please God is the amount of life you put in it, so it responds to God by virtue of the life that you have put in it. Amen. Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So if you want it to be obedient, then you suffer self-denial in order to put the life of God in it, to put the word of God in it, and then it will respond in a certain way. Amen. All right, look at verse 41. Amen. Verse 41. And so there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. Next verse. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Next verse. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's telling you that the raising is better than the sowing. But if you are sowing something that is full of life, imagine what you reap. It's an abundance. He's even giving you another. Even if you have just a little bit of life, when it comes up, it will be multiplied. It's raised in relative glory compared to what you sowed. So you don't get exactly what you sowed. You get something good, pressed down, shaken together of what you already sowed. True or false? True. Okay. Next verse. Yes. Thank you, sir. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. Next verse. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. One receives, the other one gives. Next verse. How be it that first... Next verse. Yes. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Have you borne the image of the earthy? The answer is yes. Then you are going to bear the image of the heavenly. That is the will of God. Look at verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also. It's definite. On God's part is a done deal. We shall also bear the image. That image is there. Of the heavenly. That's ultimately where God is taking us to. How then do we do it? As we begin to close. We live by him. That's why the title, Living by Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 4 verse 9. Just after where it says God is love. We live by him. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might what? Live through him. God wants us to live through him. Live through him. Don't live partially, and then don't begin to live by him and then finish it off by yourself. Start off in the spirit and wind up in the flesh. No, live by him. Lock, stock, and barrel. How do we do that? First, we go back to our original state of being connected to God, being born again. Amen. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, cannot see. So there's some things you just will not see, things of the kingdom. So you really have to reconnect. Adam was connected, but then he disconnected. So Jesus has brought us back to reconnect. So that's how we get born again. So we reconnect by being born again. Right. Two, we maintain that connection daily by an attitude of reverent submission. First, to God. Hebrews 11:6. Bible says, see that coming to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligent. So the first is you must believe God is. God is omnipotent, supreme God of all the universe. And you submit to that. Okay, so that's important. And then you also submit to godly spiritual leadership that God has raised up. Bible says that in the day of latter rain, you pray for bright flashing clouds. So the Bible is talking about that in God has graciously provided men and women who have demonstrated the image of love. They have demonstrated it to a much clearer degree than you and I. So you can identify them and then you submit to them. The Bible calls them Abraham and Sarah. Alright, to let you know that is a team. Okay, so look at Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 3. It's very important that we see this because this is how God is going to do it, you know, and it's very important that we understand. Say, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye, how many of us seek the Lord? Let me see your hand. You're seeking the Lord. So this is talking to you. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Next verse. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Amen. Next verse. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found where? Therein. Where? In Zion. Who are Zion? Us. Amen. There in thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Amen. So what is God saying? God is saying that as you look is a spiritual looking. You see by revelation. You discern. First you must discern them. Okay? Then you say that okay, this is the type of leadership, and then you copy, you imitate. You know, and you give reverent submission to them. It's something you have to give because God is providing through them covering. And that covering is going to preserve you, because left to Satan, he's not going to let you take a stroll on this road. When Paul went into a place, they beat him up and left him for dead. They beat him up till literally he practically was dead. And the brethren gathered around him. You need that. You need covering. It's not a place where you go like a lone ranger. You have to be under authority. And that's why, you know, God has provided. Because the covering now does three things. It keeps us safe. It provides divine protection for us. Then it supplements our spiritual nourishment. And then it purifies our hearts through the undiluted word of God that they preach. That word of God cleanses the washing of water by the word. It purifies the heart. And that heart begins to shed the image of the devil. Bible says you have your father the devil. You know that when Jesus said that to them. I mean, they were children of Israel. They were children of Abraham. So how come he said? So it was in their heart. There was an image that was in their heart. And they were following that image and behaving like the devil. So he was telling them, you have your father the devil. That image in your heart is the key image that needs to be changed. So that covering goes deep into the heart to change that image. Change that image. Discipline, you know, correction. No, like Jesus told Satan, get thee behind me. You need that. You're looking at me. You need that. I need that. Say, I need that. Whether you say or don't say, it's going to happen. Except you're not going to go on this road. You're going to go in Jesus' name. Say, I need that. You need it. The Bible says that he scourges every son whom he receives. It's part of that. The Bible says if we have born correction from our natural father. How many people have born correction from our natural parents? The Bible says, shall you not be insufficient to the father of spirits and live? Say, I need that. And I said more convincingly, now I've persuaded you. Okay. So it's the way. It's the way. You need the correction to be able to, because that word is the word they bring is the doctrine according to godliness. It is not according to man. So it's going to jar with what you know. It's going to jar with the way you live. It's going to correct you. He's going to correct you. Because it's according to God-likeness. He's telling you to leave the lower image. Stop living like Solomon and live like Jesus. The Bible says that greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was the form of man. It was a form of Christ, but at a manly level. You just consider yourself, you know, by physical yardstick. Wisest person, money, all that. You know, without having the character. And God said the greater. So it's great. It means that the character is of greater value. And if you have all the money like Solomon did, and where silver was accounted for nothing, that means somebody who is not counting in thousands anymore. He's not counting in thousands anymore. He's counting in millions and billions. He's saying that the person who has the love image is going to be counting in the quadzillions. Oh, yes. Initially, there'll be nothing. But it's of more worth. It's of more worth. Okay? That's weird. So, that's number two. Number three. Matthew 4:4. A very popular scripture. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Note every and live by. You're living by Jesus Christ. You must live by the word. Very important. Live by the word. That means you must feed on it regularly. You must, Proverbs 1:8 talks about, my son, you know, hear the instruction of a father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. It's very important. You have to hearken to instruction. You know, there's reading your Bible and studying, which is important. You know, but there is also hearkening to apostolic and prophetic instruction. Because that directs your understanding when you read your Bible. And gives you keys to open up the Bible with. It's very important that you understand that. And in Proverbs 4:22, it says, my son, incline thy ear. So when you read the Bible, there's some things, you know, you want to, you just want to drop that. Proverbs 4:20, quickly. Proverbs 4:20. Say, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my sayings. Next verse. Let them not what? Depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Verse 5. Next verse. For they are what? Life. For the word to minister life and bring health to your flesh, there are four things you need to do. You need one to feed on it regularly. Then when you feed on it, you need to pay attention to what you read. Attend. Then incline your ear is to consider. Consider yourself in the light of that word. So you let the word read you. The first one is that you pay attention to it. You read it. Then the next one is it reads you. And then you meditate upon it. If you do it, it will bring life. That's what he's saying. Okay. Four, prayer. Prayer is about a lifestyle of communication between us in the physical and God in the spiritual through words and thoughts. But what I want to bring out here, in addition to that, is that there must be a flow of life. Otherwise, prayer is boring and laborious. If there is no flow of life. The scripture tells us, it says that in his presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. So really, prayer, if you really understand, prayer is very refreshing. It is very, very, if you are praying out of communion with God, it is refreshing. Look at Psalm 16 verse 11. This is the way it's supposed to be. And this is the way it is. It's the way it is. Look at it. Thou will show me the path of life. It means God has to show you. Okay. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand. Prayer. Intercession. There are what? So one pleasure. The pleasure in prayer is better than the pleasure when you're watching football. I couldn't believe that at one point in time, but today I believe it. What I've experienced, it's better. It's like any better. It's better. And guess what? Your team always wins. Ha! That's the best part. Your team always wins. No disappointments. Not when you're better than you. You always win in the place of prayer. You always win.
So you know, you God show you deep things, you know, correct things, help you. You know, by the time you come out, you are on top. You feel like a god, which is the way you really are. But if it's laborious and it's not fun, then it means that there is something wrong. Your pipe is not touching the water. It's not touching the water. So you are putting on the pump, it's making noise, but it's not flowing. Sometimes you still need to pray. Like, I just do it out of discipline. It's important. But you also need to examine yourself and check. The Bible says, examine whether you be in the faith and correct your attitude. Because an attitude thing, and lengthen the pipe in submission. Increase it in determination and humility. And when it touches the water, you pray the same prayer. And right from time, you say, Father, confess my sins. God's already talking to you. There's a song in your heart. There's this scripture. I don't know whether it happened to you. You are praying. It's like it's coming so fast. Hey, there's Shanumi. Hey, slow down. You know, it's like, it's fun. It's possible. So look at Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with what? Joy shall you what? Draw water out of the wells of salvation. You draw water. In Jesus' name, I have life. You draw water and you pray and establish the will of God. Now there are two types of prayer in this sense. There's a prayer that establishes an open heavens over your life every day by copying Jesus' example in Hebrews 5:7. We call that battle prayer. Where you pray with different types of prayer. You open up the heavenlies. And as you open up the heavenlies, you know, you receive power to be able to walk in divine love. Because it takes power to walk in divine love. And as you keep walking in divine love, after a while, guess what? In what says Malachi, the Lord will make you, will pour you out blessing you don't have enough to receive. So you stop receiving blessing, you now become a blessing that God pours out. Amen. So you now become an open heavens. You become the open heavens. You can believe it. You become, now there's one, you pray to get an open heavens, but after a while, by reason of time, by growth in prayer and obedience in walking in love, you yourself become an open heavens. So anywhere you go, the heavens are open. And people just receive under your covering. That's the will of God. You're going to be an open heavens in Jesus' name. Amen. First for yourself, then for your family, and then God spreads you around. Amen. And the second one is communion prayer. Where you distribute eternal life into your entire soul and body. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. So my Bible says, let's look at it. Beloved. Jude. Verse 1, 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your what? Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does it say? Keep yourselves where? In the love of God. So you can be in love and not come out. You can be in love all day long, brethren, and not come out. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Looking for what? The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The mercy keeps us in that. Okay? So, and then number 5 is to practice divine love consistently and diligently. We've already spoken about that. It's that practice on a consistent basis that makes us perfect. Practice makes perfect. And as you practice, you become perfect. The Bible says like Jesus. And you know, Bible says that and he learned obedience by things that I'm being made perfect. The Bible says after you have suffered a while, he makes you perfect, established, strengthened, and set to you. That's, so we must practice love. So look forward to the opportunity to walk in love. Let love be the high point of your day. No matter how much work you have, let love be right in front of your eyes. Make sure your love prayers are there and your eye is looking out for the opportunities. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to walk in love. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins. I'm so clean with the blood. I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that you are making man, you are making me
in your image, the image of agape love, and in your likeness, and you are making me to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, and to subdue it, to be a God in the earth by the power of divine love, so that your purpose on earth will be fulfilled by the army of sons that you're raising up. Heavenly Father, count me in. I align my will with your purpose in this regard, and I choose to embrace self-denial, to embrace enduring attack, to embrace walking in love with people that may be unlovely, so that I will grow in the love of God, and your image will be stamped upon my heart, so that I will become a son, mature son on the earth. Thank you, Father, for helping me to live by Jesus consistently and diligently, by the word, by prayer, and by an attitude of reverent submission. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Zareke koshaka, ranke koko leveberi kanga na matope, jekan koko leveberi yaba, rapapare, rapani de basa, rane basa, rapakao, rapaka, sarelea, randeasa, rasemera, ramareve, samara, ramani kangange levela, rapapapa, keke levebe, rapakata, jeke leveberio, randevede, rapakatan, to, be, tao, romai. Naraso, randevene do bantantango, rapapa beka, genere basta, robe balevat, robe kanko benganaya, rone levea, rone velea, rane levea, jafre kekan balea, rana botea, randa vesa kaka, jekele beberia, randevede kenenemaya. In Jesus' name, amen.